which is the Matt, the fourth quarter dashboard.
Okay, great. With your permission, I will share my screen. It takes a second to load, so hopefully you can all see this. This is the same report that you all have in front of you in your packet. So we'll just jump right to page number 3 here. We have finished the year with a $6.7 million tax levy surplus. That's a very different number than the deficit that we had projected to this group 3 months ago. So let me kind of just give a quick overview of some of the major points that changed that led to this situation, and then we can go program by program farther along in the report. So one of the main budget variances, as longtime committee members will note, our WMCR payment, which is our Wisconsin Medicaid cost report payment. That's a summary or a cost settlement related to all of our community Medicaid programs. So crisis intervention, community support program, targeted case management, comprehensive community services. We put all of our costs related to those programs into a cost report tool. It takes several months for our accounting team to compile. The state weighs that against the Medicaid reimbursements we received. In this case, our 2023 cost report payment was related to calendar year 2022. That number has been a little bit volatile. We've been getting better at predicting it, but it's still a little bit difficult, and it's a one-time payment we receive every year in mid to late December. So this payment was about $2.9 million higher than we were anticipating, which is great news. We like to be a little bit conservative with that number. I will note that that number for the 2024 budget is increased by $3.4 million. So this isn't necessarily a structural surplus. A lot of this is just catching up to kind of our current cost experience. We'll continue to watch that closely as we compile our 2023 WMCR submission later on this year, but right now we're not anticipating this large of a variance in our 2024 budget. Similarly, we had a $2.7 million surplus in some of our contracts in our adult services area. So the majority of our contracts are paid on a fee-for-service basis. Providers are reimbursed at a per unit rate as they provide services, but we do have some services that are provided more on a cost reimburse or a grant basis. We saw a lot of those contracts underspend substantially more than anticipated. What we're seeing is some of those are multi-year agreements that will roll forward into 2025, and those providers may have some opportunity to catch up on that spend. But some of our other contracts, providers are really having trouble staffing and incurring the cost related to those programs. One example is our third shift crisis mobile program. Our vendor for that program has really had challenges staffing and providing those services at all, so we didn't really see a lot of spin there. We did just increase the amount of that contract that's now up for RFP, so we're hoping to get more respondents to fill out that third shift staffing, and we'll continue to review and monitor these agreements in 2024 to make sure we're not seeing underspend, and bring it to the board's attention if we do feel the need to increase any of those agreements if it's a staffing issue. Similarly, in BHS, we have a large amount of vacant positions in 2024. Some of this was related to just expanding positions. I'm sorry, in 2023. Sorry, it's already halfway through 2024. In 2023, had position vacancies. Some of these were new positions that just took until about mid-year to hire, but we do have some ongoing vacancies, again, working with our HR compensation area on reviewing the rates of pay there to make sure that we're remaining competitive so we can be fully staffed. Our community-based residential facility is about $1.6 million below budget. This is related to a few different things. First of all, we had a major shift. One of our largest CBRF providers changed ownership in 2023. That caused some just I don't want to say management issues, but that was a transition that we needed to work through. Another piece of this is that, again, you'll see on a page further down, we're seeing increased population at Winnebago. There's a lot of overlap between individuals in this level of care and individuals in need of hospitalization. Sometimes there's some cross-cutting between these populations. Right now, we're hopeful that as we see folks released from that high level of care, we'll start to see this budget number go back to its normal baseline. That said, we are moving forward on a small rate increase for some of our CBRF providers in 2024. We have some, as I call them, legacy facilities that haven't received pay increases for many, many years. We're trying to bring those facilities up to our network average to make sure that we're fully covering their costs. So that will also chip away at some of this surplus. Improved revenue experience. This is really just our revenue cycle team getting that write-off rate as low as possible, especially in programs like CCS. We used to see a write-off rate as high as 5 or 6%. That's now down around 3 or 4% in 2023. So continuing to move the needle there. Legacy fringe surplus, this is one of those charges that's a little outside of our control. Well, it is outside of our control. This is a number that's given to us by the Milwaukee County Comptroller's Office. They had been projecting, I think, a more conservative number all year. At the year end, when it came time to settle our legacy fringe accounts, we ended up with a $500,000 surplus. Some major areas of deficit. We're continuing to see some tax levy overspend in our AODA network. A lot of that is really going back to the change in the residential substance use disorder Medicaid benefit. So just a little history here. In the past, Medicaid was not an allowable. This is similar to that IMD discussion we were having earlier. In the past, Medicaid wasn't an allowable payer for residential substance use disorder. A few years ago, the state of Wisconsin did a waiver to allow Medicaid services in that setting, which was great. It's allowed Wisconsin to expand use of that level of service, level of care statewide. The kind of unintended consequence it had on Milwaukee County was that we had been using our network of AODA grants to support that level of care in Milwaukee County. Now what we're finding is that when Medicaid comes in and pays for a portion of that care, that Medicaid is funding the care and maintenance portion of the care, but not the room and board. When Medicaid funds the care and maintenance, we're not allowed to have our grants fund only the room and board portion, because our grants require room and board is allowable cost under our grants, but it requires concurrent care and treatment services that are also funded by the grant. So when Medicaid's funding that that care and treatment piece, we're then left with only our tax levy funding to support the room and board costs of that level of care. So it's led to the situation where we're underspending on a few of our grants, but overspending on tax levy. We have received an expansion of our room and board grant from the state of Wisconsin that's leveraging opioid settlement funds, which will help mitigate this issue in 2024. That only serves individuals in that setting with opioid use disorder, but it should greatly reduce the amount of tax levy we are needing to fund room and board services. We're also submitting a separate request to the Milwaukee County Opioid Settlement Fund Committee to expand our use of opioid settlement treatment services for our AODA network that is also in part funded by tax levy. So with that, we're anticipating no additional tax levy variance there in 2024. Lastly, and hopefully the 2024 is the last time we're still discussing this topic, we've seen some increasing deficits in our wraparound, our children's HMO program for a number of years now. The state has been slowly rolling out some changes to how HMOs are administered with new federal rules. We had been projecting a deficit in that program all year. It was actually less than we ended up originally believing it would be, so that is good news, but we're still needing to greatly expand the amount of tax levy and community aids that are supporting the RAP HMO program. That is in part why we're moving away from the RAP HMO funding model in 2024 and shifting towards the crisis intervention and CCS funding model for those same services provided to youth. No, I just said a lot. Any questions before I jump to the next page? Okay, jumping on here. So this is a new chart. We're realizing a lot of the information we put before you is really kind of just isolated to the current fiscal year. So this gives some a little more historical knowledge of how things have been changing and trending over at least the past three fiscal years. So just walk through this pretty briefly. Our other state and federal revenue has gone up slightly. We've been aggressively pursuing new grants, but we have many grants that sunset as the new ones come on. So happy that this number is increasing. We're hoping that it will increase a little more substantially over the next few years, especially as some of the countywide ARPA and other funding are set to expire. Tax levy, you'll notice this uptick in 2022. That was because this was one of the only years we needed to rely on our tax levy reserves. As we closed the hospital, we had substantial increased cost while that kind of system of care overlapped between our hospital in Granite Hills and our PCS and the Mental Health Emergency Center. We're back on track to historical norms in 2023. Similarly, our patient revenue ticked down in 2023. This was because we no longer have the hospital. We're still paying for those services, but it's Granite Hills that's billing Medicaid and receiving the revenue for those clients as we had in the past when we operated our hospital ourselves. Similarly, you'll see a decrease in the expenses and personnel and services. Again, that's related to the closure of the hospital, and there's an in-kind increase in vendor payments, which is partially related to the continued expansion of community services like CCS, but also because we're really replacing that operated hospital model with purchasing those services from Granite Hills and Winnebago. Moving on here, similar to what we were speaking about earlier, this program, these financials are a little bit misleading here. You'll see that there's a $2.7 million variance. A lot of that is because there was a change in how overhead charges were allocated to this program partway through the year that wasn't originally reflected in the budget. That's going to be corrected for the 2024 budget. When you exclude that kind of overhead variance issue, we're really right on target with financials here. Actually under budget on MHEC payments. That is running a little more efficiently related to revenue generation than we had initially thought. So that's great news. Where we're seeing the strong variances is between the budgeted amount of Granite Hills bed days and the actual amount of Granite Hills bed days and the budgeted amount of State Institute days and the budget and the actual amount of State Institute days. So we're sending far fewer people to Granite Hills than we had anticipated and far more to the State Institutes than we had anticipated. So again, kind of a continuation of the discussion we were having in our previous item. I just want to make everyone aware that Granite Hills has reached out to us about increasing their rates. We are sensitive to the fact that their costs have increased. All healthcare costs have increased since this agreement was originally negotiated. We've requested some followed-up detailed financial information from Granite Hills to just kind of better understand their cost experience. We haven't gotten any of that information back from them. We'll continue to work with them on this. we really want them to be successful. We really want to see the State Institute number go down and the Granite Hills number go up, even if it means paying Granite Hills more. But as Mr. Kander was saying earlier, I think it's an opportunity to kind of open up the contract and kind of re-envision how we're articulating our needs in that contract and what metrics Granite Hills is being held to. So I think opportunity here is just taking longer than any of us would like. Moving on to targeted case management. This is a program, this is one of our lower levels of adult community care. The only thing I'd like to highlight here is the, let's see here, this program is experiencing a slight deficit. A lot of that is because we've really been encouraging use of the crisis care management model, which has a higher rate. We aren't concerned about the deficit here. A lot of that we're going to make up at the end of this fiscal year with our WMCR cost report, because the crisis care management payments are cost reported at a are reimbursed at a higher level through that cost report process, and it means that individuals in this level of care are getting the treatment that they need. So we have right-sized this program in 2024, and we'll continue to monitor those variances, but overall not concerned here. CCS, again, this is what I was speaking to earlier. This benefited both from a larger than anticipated WMCR payment, and is also continuing to really benefit from a lower write-off rate as we see fewer folks getting disenrolled from Medicaid. We were concerned that there was going to be an uptick around mid-year when some of those pandemic era provisions changed, but we really haven't seen a large amount of disenrollments, at least not in the data that we have available to us right now. So all very good news in this program. I think the only thing I'd highlight is that, you know, we're really used to seeing on the adult side especially, this distinct client serve number continued to increase. This program, I think we started around 2016 and has grown pretty rapidly since then. We're really starting to see a plateau in the enrollment. I don't think that's concerning per se. I think at some point we knew that it would start to plateau. We can't expand it forever, but we are sensitive to, or I guess a little concerned, is or wanting to better understand, I should say, if this plateau is truly representing the need for this service in our community, or if we're also starting to see some of those staffing challenges we're seeing in other programs in CCS. So we'll watching that and expect more information on that in future meetings. Community support program. This is an area where we're continuing to be a little bit concerned. So there's a surplus here, but this really isn't a program where we want a budget surplus. We want people to be in this level of care and receiving these services because we know that it's keeping them out of higher levels of care, like hospitalizations. So we believe that this budget surplus is really representative of lower staffing challenges being experienced by community providers. We did increase CSP rates for the community providers in January of 2024. We're hoping we'll start to see somewhat of a rebound there, but it's something we'll continue to monitor and maybe another item in the 2025 budget. Lastly, we have our Children's Community Mental Health Services Program. So this is a little bit, I don't want to say misleading. There's just a lot going on here. So I think in future cycles, we're going to break out this dashboard between crisis programming, CCS, and the HMO, because right now this is showing a surplus of $600,000. That surplus is really related to the youth CCS program. Again, higher than anticipated cost report, better than anticipated current year revenue experience in that program. The youth CCS program is very healthy. It's represented here by this orange bar, continues to grow. Meanwhile, the HMO program enrollment continues to decline. A lot of this up until now has been pretty natural attrition, starting in the first quarter of 2024. You'll see a more intentional decrease in the HMO program as we more proactively enroll youth in crisis care management and comprehensive community services, with anticipation of shuttering the HMO program in September of 2024. Again, I think we're still working on a lot of the budget pieces for right-sizing this program. We do anticipate that we will need to increase this program's tax levy budget just to support the local match component for the crisis care management program. But the intention is to have as little impact as possible on the actual service participants. It's going to look very different on the back end financially, but from an actual service participation standpoint, it should look very similar to the current REACH and RAP programs that we're currently offering. And that concludes my presentation for item number 4.